compliance with law?
Yes, it was sent to the county clerk and posted at the admin and courthouse in the CSB building here.
I need approval of the agenda. Motion.
Just one note in the advocacy reports, it says Older Americans Act, May 2022. That's supposed to be 23.
Okay.
That's my fault. You and I didn't catch that for
there's
either.
Another one.
And a second. Agenda.
I'll second it.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Approval of minutes, April 19th, 2023.
I apologize. I did not send those out in the packets. If you don't have one, they were sitting by the name tags.
Yep.
So my apologies.
That being a motion to approve the minutes, there's an objection.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second. Motion made and second. Approval of minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Public comment, communications, anything?
I think so.
No?
I have a public comment.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for the hearing loop. For people that have difficulty in hearing, it's amazing. It really is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we've got it. I think now I got to double check because I think it's just automatically in
our front.
In our front. So you
but
should,
it's a good
I should
thing.
Have you test it though.
But it's a good thing to remind people that you have it.
Yes.
Because as people are buying their hearing aids, I have new ones coming, but one of the questions they ask, well, they don't ask. Okay. And they had all these different types. And I said, I need one that has the T cell. He says, well, we only have one that's that way. So even if the seniors or whoever, that anybody that has hearing loss, if you get hearing aids, make sure they get the T cell. They don't cost anymore. So I don't understand why they don't all come at it.
Yeah. We should do another article in the newsletter.
It's a,
on that
it's a
because
big
it is,
deal.
It is. And we've actually got portable ones too. We can take out into homes, but really what we do run into is a lot of people don't have the hearing aid. So, so yeah, maybe we will do something like that again.
Huge difference.
Okay, number six, advocacy reports and activities or activities. Do you have that work?
The regional board report. I know they went over call reports and I obviously gave us a little hint on community wellness, but I don't remember what that was. Was that, did she go over the community? What was that? I put it down to give myself a hint and now I can't remember what it was. so much for that. Community wellness. I think maybe there's a community wellness mental health workshop coming up. I think CAP is doing one. It comes out of there. That's all that behavioral. So I think, oh, if I just read the second line, Health Summit, May 23rd. Okay, well, I was right. Oh, gosh. Sorry. We're kind of in all different directions these days, so it is difficult. Aging Advocacy Day, I was not able to attend it, but we did send Emily, who is our benefits specialist. She had never been before, so she was interested in attending. So she and some staff from the other offices in the other counties went, along with Mary Mesra, and they met with Howard Markline's staff and Travis Trammell's staff. And you've seen some of this, but I'll just pass this around. They essentially were focusing on investing in the ADRCs, reinforcing and getting more state money for home-delivered meals, reliable, accessible, and affordable transportation, caregiver support, and one more is what they focused on. I don't know if I got that one in there. Well, the other one was long-term care. Oh, yeah, here it is. Repair and rebuild the long-term care workforce. And you have seen most of these, I think, before. But that was their focus on meeting with legislators. Emily did a great job. I sent her our annual report. We don't really do an annual report for the county anymore, but I had given that out, I think, last meeting. So she took some of that information with her as well, and shared it, and then, you know, pointed out how much our meals, home delivered meals, have increased since the pandemic, and then also shared with one of the experienced, because she'd known through it. Dennis had let us know that one of his volunteers had found somebody on the floor and was able to call 911 and get help for them. So she shared that experience with the legislators as well to, you know, just provide a little impact on what we actually do, because it is important. So, so overall, I think she enjoyed the day very much. I think she thought it was worthwhile and they had a good turnout. So we are also sharing that in the newsletter with some of the information a little more summarized in the newsletter for people to contact their legislators. So if you do come in contact with your legislators, please just kind of focus in on those, especially home delivered meals, because we could use that. Older Americans month is this month. We did the scam workshop, and now we've got Medicare 101 coming up this week,
Friday.
Emily will be doing that as well. So, and that's usually a pretty popular one. So, for anybody new to Medicare, so that will be happening as well. That's all I have on that.
Lori, can you go back just a little bit and fill us in on the Community Wellness Mental Health Summit?
So,
what did that encompass? I mean, is that where you attend sessions? You have speakers? Is it a roundtable Q&A?
I've sat on it a couple of times, or at least once. Southwest CAP got a behavioral health grant, and I think that's where it came out of. And so, yes, it typically is just some kind of workshop, some roundtable discussions. I think the time I did it was Zoom, so I don't know what it's like in person. I don't know if that will change. But that's where it's come, if that's where it's come from. To be honest with you, Mary Messer could probably get you more information on it, because I don't deal with it that much. Mary is usually, she sits on that council, that board, and kind of has a regional role in it, but we don't, and not because I'm not interested in it, mainly just because of time. It's because it is more of a regional thing, she sort of takes the lead on that. But I can get you some more information if you're interested in it. The one that I sat on was very good. I mean, it was very informative, and obviously mental health is a huge concern around here.
But is that an annual thing?
It has been, yeah. I think this is I would say this is probably at least 3, maybe. I feel like the first one was during the pandemic. Okay. You know how many years ago they got that grant?
That's fine.
I think so. That would be about where I think. Jeff sits in on that too, Jeff Kindry. He sat on that board, our health director. So yeah, it's just not one that I've been involved real closely with.
But can anyone?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, okay. I think so. I will get you some more information and sort it out, Kathy. Transportation. And I see that I don't have my stuff in there too, so I didn't look very much. I guess I should have looked at my packet. I must not have printed that out. Well, it's fine. We took a look at it, so I can look at the numbers. So taxi vouchers and fares. A couple of things I just wanted to talk to within transportation. It's going to be in my... Oh, no, maybe it should be under there, is it? No? I saved it in my documents, probably. A couple of the things that we've talked about with 8521, because we have not traditionally, well, obviously because of the pandemic and because of attracting drivers, we haven't been spending out our 8521 monies. And I can't have much more going into the trust fund. So we need to look at some different things. One of the things I think I talked about last month was the taxi and flat bill increasing in prices. And so that is something I know it's been on my radar for a while, that we can offer some vouchers. We can offer some either vouchers, coupons, or something to people to help reduce that fare in Platteville for seniors. The other thing is what we've looked at also is just looking at fares across the board. Our fares in Lancaster have stayed pretty good. Obviously, during the pandemic, when we had free fares, because we did free fares, we had a lot of people starting to use the taxi a lot more. And we certainly had more general public. So when we do our reports, we have to look at, we look at categories that are 60 and above, ambulatory, 60 and above, unable to walk, and then under 60, ambulatory, under 60, but maybe with a disability, but still ambulatory, and then under 60, not able to walk, and then just not disabled at all, which would be the general public. And those numbers for the general public went up quite a bit. We did a lot more of that. And then our other numbers increased as well. Since then, our numbers have obviously gone back down. We're not doing as much of the general public nearly at all. But we've also seen a decline mostly in Baskerville and Fenimore. Our Lancaster has stayed pretty good. It's still down from obviously when it was free, which you know you would expect, but our Baskerville and Fenimore numbers have really declined. And that concerns me because obviously we know people needed the service. They obviously used the service when it was free. And I get it, I mean, free is free. But I guess what I'm concerned about is we're paying a driver, we've got $85.21. Should we be looking at a decrease in the fares? Should we look at right now the fares are $2 per the first ride, 50 cents in between stops, and $2 for the last ride. So we looked around at different fare prices in different counties. A lot of the counties, some have less, some have about the same. The 50 cents in between stops, I think, are just more of a pain. So one of the things I looked at was even possibly if we just charged, like, say, $1 per ride. And then it was just, so if I was going to be picked up at home, go to the grocery store, go to the pharmacy and go home, that would normally be $4.50, where now it would be like $3. It's just one of the things. I'm looking at trying to make it easier, trying to get more use of it, but I have to balance that against Lancaster, where we do have a lot more numbers, so I don't want to send my taxi driver over the edge in Lancaster, but we clearly, he's sitting a lot in Baskerville and Fenimore. And I know people need the service, but again, I think it's a...
But if you dropped it to $1 a ride and they just want to go to the store at home, it's cutting their cost in half.
Exactly.
It might drive, you know, it might pick up.
Exactly. And with food prices the way they are, I think it's a consideration that people are just like, you know...
And I think it's simpler for the driver or whatever, just...
Well, that was my thought too. Yeah. Just get rid of the 50 cents and all of that. It's such a.
I would agree with that.
Even. So, yeah, I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on it and see what you think. And the vouchers in Platteville, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I have kind of a up and down with that because obviously we don't run the taxi service in Platteville, but they do have. Lower, I mean, they do. I think the rates right now for taxi and Platteville are $5, and I think it's $4 for seniors.
I was going to bring that up.
I think it's per ride. So, in fact, I know it is. There's if you there's a, what did they call it? I can't remember what they called it, but there's, I think it's an extra dollar or two if you stop like at an ATM on your way to somewhere else. But other than that, there isn't, it's pretty much that cost. So I don't know if we could even just offer some like dollar coupons to make that a little bit more affordable for people. Again, I feel kind of like other areas don't even have a taxi. So are we giving something to places that, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
I'm reading off the city's website, and they, when the taxi fares were raised, they're $3.25 for adults.
I think they're more than that.
And they, and that was an increase of 50 cents. So
you think they raised to $3.25? Because I don't think that's what's on their website. I'm not positive it was more than that. Unless I'm looking at the wrong one. Yeah, this says $5 for regular passengers, $4.50 for seniors over the age of 65.
Back in December, we approved a 50 cent increase, and it's showing that it went from 275 to 3 and 4.
Maybe we better. Well, I would say we'll continue to explore that, because I have to talk to 8521. I mean, I would have to talk to DOT about it anyway. We would have to change some things within our grant if we were going to do it, or we can maybe even start.
Okay, I found it.
Okay.
Okay. It's called shared ride taxi.
Right.
Adult riders did increase from 3 to 5, but seniors 65 and over, disabled, and youth under the age of 18 went from 275 to 450.
Oh, that's a pretty significant increase.
Yeah. But they hadn't had an increase for, I want to say, 8 to 10 years. It was a long time.
Yeah. But they also get, they also get some 5311 funds in there as well. So
what's that?
They also get some 5311 funds. That taxi should get some DOT funding as well. It should. In fact, I know they do because I've seen them on the list. But I can tell you how much that is because I just have the new list out. So I can look at that. But I think let me look a little more and find out from maybe a couple other counties that might do that. I just feel like with us moving, you know, the senior center not being in the same place as possibly the meal site, we'll see how that plays out, but that might be something you want to look at. With the fares, do we want to take action on that, or we want to take action on it next month? And I'll take that back. I don't know that she got a hold of, I don't know that John has had much input on that.
Oh, okay.
So maybe I'll bring that back to you guys next month, and we'll take action on it. I would really like to see the fares reduced. I just feel like we've got a service that people could actually use and merge it, and they're not, just because of the cost of it. So to me, that's silly. So I'll bring that back to you next month with a firm. I know Mariah talked to John about it, but I don't know that she got back to me. I don't remember that she did. And I just would like to run it by him a little bit more. And we'll go from there.
Sounds like a good idea.
Nutrition It's a nightmare.
Is that an accurate description for you?
Nicely, yeah.
A little bit crazy.
Courtney had the opportunity to attend the nutrition director's meeting in Wausau this last month.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Feels like a lot longer now. I did not attend because we still had to cover some nutrition services back here. So Courtney went and advocated and pleaded and did a lot of things. We are struggling because we cannot get enough staff to cover what we need. Hopefully, maybe we've got a couple applications, so hopefully maybe we'll be able to do that. But between staffing shortages and volunteer shortages, we are struggling. And we are as good as Courtney and I remain healthy on most days. Courtney has been in a lot of meal sites. You've definitely been in Cuba City. You've been in Platteville.
Lancaster.
I went to Muscadet the other day in case we had an issue. Yeah. So it's constant having to cover, which means it puts a lot more pressure, mostly on Courtney, to get everything else done. So it's really becoming an issue. I mean, I'm hoping that we can get the staffing situation solved, but I think we seriously have to start looking at things. We are at, because of our home delivered meals not coming down, and with the pandemic ending, or the public health emergency ending, I don't know if pandemic's ending, but public health emergency's ending, new rules, our old rules are now coming back into play. So that means people on home delivered meals have to be reassessed on an annual basis, and they want that done in the homes. That's always been. Anybody that's coming on to meals has to be assessed in the home. You know, that doesn't sound so bad until you look at how big Grant County is and how many people we have on meals. And we have one person who's not even full time who's supposed to do that. And we have pleaded with the state, and we have made, some of us have made very public comments on a statewide email chain that says this is going to cost us a lot of money, and it will result in less meals available for people. I think people need to be more realistic, so I said it. You know me, I don't hold my tongue, and I said, you know, to pay her to do all of this will reduce meals for people because we simply won't have enough. It's just unrealistic to think we can keep this up, especially for reassessments where you might be going in for somebody who's been on meals for 5 years. You know, they're clearly not getting better. I mean, people do get on meals temporarily. Some people get to a time in their life where they're just going to be on meals. And that's not going to change. So
how many people in the county are being served?
I think we're at, do you want to look?
Approximately.
Where's the unduplicated? 441 unduplicated persons were served in April.
So even if you could get to one a day,
yeah,
it would be a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can you, in layman's terms, tell us how we can be advocates for that?
Well, I would definitely talk to your legislators.
So we would sound a little bit knowledgeable.
Yes. I mean it's just simply first of all, we need more money if they truly want it. But in reality, the rules that are in place for us have been around since the program was begun in what, late 60s, early 70s, early 70s, I guess. I always think it's there on the Warren property, but they're a little later. What life was like in 1973 is very different what life was like in 2023. So we need some changes. We need more flexibility. We need to be able to do, Bagley is a perfect thing. We pulled out of Bagley, but we still have people that need to be served in Bagley. And I don't like taking meals away from people. But we were coming to that because we don't have drivers. We've lost a driver, so we're short staff. You know, there's clear opportunities for us to maybe partner with local restaurants and whatever. But the state puts in rules that say if you're going to do restaurant vouchers, number one, you have to have a full-time nutrition coordinator. We've never had a full-time nutrition coordinator. Not between the two of us do we have a full-time nutrition coordinator. It's never happened because there's not enough money. We put more money into the meals than we do into the staffing of it. And the state's been pretty firm in that. Now, we thought maybe we were going to have a little bit of a loophole or a little bit of a push to get an exemption on that with everything. But then Sarah from the state, DHS, put out the new draft, and it's very clear that that's not happening. And to the point where other comments on those draft rules were, if you don't want us to do this program, then just take it out because you're making it so prohibitive that we can't even implement it. Mm-hmm. So, and it's true. It's true. And the thing is to me, here we've got local businesses that we could support if we just loosened up the rules a little bit, but that's not happening. The thing with the restaurant vouchers is it's not just her being a full-time nutrition director, but if you do a restaurant voucher option where you don't have staff on site, so the restaurant vouchers don't have staff on site, then Courtney's supposed to go out on a once-a-month basis to inspect the restaurant. Inspect a licensed restaurant for health and safety. She's got a food safety certificate.
That's another 3-day training per year.
It's just to the point for me, it's just like this is just craziness. You are just putting all these roadblocks.
So the criteria for home delivery is what?
Mm-hmm. 60 or over, essentially homebound. So you can leave for doctor's appointments and when need be, but essentially homebound. We're not able to prepare or get groceries or make your own like hot meals.
Homebound can be isolated too. So we get some of these people in these more rural areas, the isolation factor can be part of it. So, and we are working to get people off of home delivered. I mean, you feel kind of sad about that too. I mean, we're literally going to have to almost, I don't want to say shame, but I mean, you tell people, you know, look, if you're not eating these meals, because it's to the point, you can see what I've got in here. It's to the point in some of our areas that we will probably have to establish a wait list. And that's part of the reason I wanted to talk to you, because we cannot keep up. We don't have the volunteers. Flatbill's routes are, 32 and at some days?
Yep.
On one route. We can't do that. We just can't. Because if that volunteer goes down,
we're going over.
And I might be able to pick up a 25-person route in Boscobel on a dime because I know Boscobel. And I've done it in Muscadet a few times that I know Muscadet. But Platteville is going to be a little trickier for me because it's not a city I know that well. And, you know, those are the things. Those are last-minute things where we're stepping in. And we've done it many times during the pandemic. But, again, we're only two people, and it's a big county. So those are concerns. So I've told Courtney and I have had many discussions, on this.
So in an ideal world, from your perspective, with the boots on the ground, would it be easier? What would be more advantageous to keep the program going if we can get the state people to increase the money for staffing or to cut some of the red tape?
Both. Because there's not money for staffing, but staffing is an issue, and I don't think just throwing money at it. The county's known this for a while now. Throwing money at it is not really solving our issues because...
But what happens to the program?
Exactly.
Even if all of a sudden there are zero volunteers?
Yeah. It would stop.
We can't.
You literally... we have to, we don't do it without volunteers. Yeah. It would stop.
It would, yeah.
It's, and the thing is, if it's only going to get worse because the baby boomers are getting older, and we're going to have more pockets, and Grant County has a lot of pockets of people that we don't even get to. I mean, right now, we don't serve all the people probably that we, that could be eligible because of the routes, but we also cannot have routes of 32 and 25 and expect somebody to come in and deal with that. So we're trying to look at some of that, but we're not seeing as many people volunteering anymore. And part of that is our older citizens are working more. I mean, go to any place and you'll see people well over the age of, you know, 65 and 70 employed. Because they need to be in order to keep health insurance and different things and pay for their Medicare payments and things. So, you know, I think that's the reality of it.
Along those lines, what we talked about at WAN too is, I think, Arnold, you brought this up last time, is the legislators looking at the insurance, car insurance for volunteers as well. Because whether they're upping it or they're not letting people do it, or, you know, refusing them insurance if they volunteer using their vehicle, that's another thing you can talk to legislators about. They're keeping an eye on that too.
Yes. Yes. So the red tape is definitely an issue. It really is. I think, you know, one of the things, again, that we face with takeout meals, we could probably have more people that would be willing to come in and take out a meal, but that gets charged to home delivered meals where we have less funding. So we are hesitant to offer takeout meals because it puts pressure. It's going to cost the county more because it's not considered a congregate. So we'd rather have you come to congregate where nobody wants to come anymore rather than take out, because we've got 150,000 in congregate for grant funding and only 40 some thousand now. I think we're at 42, 46 for home delivered now. So those are, you know, those are interesting conundrums. And it's, again, I literally, there was somebody on one of the state director's calls that said, and kind of argued with DHS and said, look, because they keep talking about reviving congregate and doing these things, and it's not happening. It's not, it hasn't happened in the 10 years I've been here. The numbers have been constantly going down. And finally, one of the long-term directors in the state said, look, if they wanted congregate, they'd already be attending. Clearly, we're not providing the service they want, and that's why our numbers keep going down. Why don't we start realizing that and start figuring out what they do want? Takeout, grab and go being one of them that was very much successful and popular during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But the new Chapter 8 regulations came out, and they're the same. So, yeah, it's really frustrating because it's like we keep presenting these scenarios and saying it's going to get worse. You're putting more pressure. And actually, Courtney talked to one of the GWAR consultants that does nutrition and was very clear what you said. I've already been at Cuba City this week, or I left. Yeah. Well, you left Cuba City, or you left Platteville.
Friday I was in Platteville. Monday I did Bagley. Tuesday I had to do a different food route. And then after that I went to, and then Friday I was going back to Platteville.
Yeah.
While you were doing Bagley.
While I was doing Bagley.
The volunteers on the average, do they do it for a whole week? How do they do that? Or is it?
It really depends. And that's actually something we've talked about. So we're going to get a little more specific in what we ask for people to do. Because again, that's a conversation that Courtney and I've had. I said, I think people are concerned about volunteering because they don't know how much time, or they think I'm going to end up. If they talked to one of our Platteville and somebody said, I serve 32 people in a day, I'd be like, oh, I'm not doing that. I'd be like, no, I'm not going to do that. So we're going to start talking with meal site managers and trying to break up some of that. And we're going to get realistic with routes. I think we really have to consider, I don't want to do a wait list. There's two things happening in the state right now. There's a waitlist policy and there's a prioritization policy where you look at maybe somebody's nutrition risk, because again, she does an assessment that determines if you're high, medium, or low. And in some counties, if you're a low risk, you're maybe only getting one or two meals a week. If you're medium risk, you're getting maybe three meals a week. in the areas that serve five. And then if you're high, you get the five. That's one way. In some, they just do a wait list. They say, we don't have a route. When we have route availability, we will get you on it. That is a little less desirable when you're somebody who kind of serves people all the time and really don't want to do that to somebody who needs a meal. But again, I can't be putting people on 32. So with the volunteers, one of the things we're looking at and what we'll be talking with meal site managers is try to come up with maybe a route that somebody can do. And we did it in Lancaster, and I think it worked. So in Lancaster, we've got just an apartment route. And that's one that can be done within like a half hour of time. So I actually put it out to county departments and some other people and said, anybody got a half an hour that they could do just the apartments? Because that alone is seven or eight, but it just alleviates somebody else having to do those seven or eight. And we did get a couple takers on that. So we're going to try to look at some breaking down some of those routes so we can say, if you just have a half an hour, a couple of days a week, and we literally only have you do maybe this apartment or this area, maybe you just do the golf course area in Platteville, and it would be 10, you know, whatever. Again, to make it a little bit more manageable. And that would be the only one that you ever had to do. So it would be, again, you're not getting thrown into a 32 route or a 25 person route, because those are time consuming. And sometimes if you're by yourself, that's, you know, I ideally you want a driver and a runner, because that is the most efficient way. Again, Courtney and I've done many where we've done them ourselves, and you can do it, but it's a little bit more time consuming if you're putting those together. So we are going to look at that, and we're going to get more specific in our ask to people. So when we start putting out some messaging, you know, we'll start saying we just need somebody for a route in this area and see if we can't maybe attract a few more people. Because I do think if people knew a little more what it entails, that maybe they might be more interested, or might think, well, I could manage that. Because, you know, I look at it in terms of myself and what I think I could do. And I love to deliver meals. I really do. I think it's awesome. I think it's one of the best things. You get your exercise and you help people, and it's not a bad thing. But if somebody said, I need you to just deliver meals in Platteville, I'd be like, because Platteville's big, you know, I don't know everywhere. So we are going to look at that. We probably will be looking at that in the future with you, either a wait list or prioritization. We have to do something. We can't keep this up. Even if our staffing gets filled, we can't keep this up. I mean, we both have other responsibilities, obviously. I mean, one of her responsibilities is to be in these sites overseeing it, not filling in. So the other thing would be service days. That would be the other thing we need to look at, is if this continues like this, and we've already talked about it in Cuba City, if we don't get staffing for 5 days a week, we may have to negotiate. We may have to lose a couple of days in order to keep the site open. It's kind of an all or nothing. We can't, you know, I don't think people are interested in a part-time job 5 days a week. If they want a part-time job, they might be looking at three or four. So those are some flexibilities I think we're going to have in order to keep services. We've been looking at loopholes. We think we might have found one in Platteville, but I haven't heard back from the senior center, so I won't talk about that yet. But we do think, we thought we had an option, but we've sent something to the senior center on that.
Did you have a waiting list of part-time drivers or?
No. We have two substitute drivers right now, but right now they're not. One tends to drive in the spring for agriculture. I don't know what it is. So he has not been available. And the other one, and we actually just lost a driver. So that's put pressure on us too, which is why we're doing a little more. So we moved one driver to the Platteville route because that's our biggest route. And obviously that has to go 5 days a week. And then the other thing is Bagley. We are trying to look at some different meal service there and try to figure that out. So we can alleviate that. The other thing I am looking at, as I had on here for those rural ones, is possible mail order meal service. It is not ideal, but it might have to come down to that. And these people that live in these isolated areas, if they truly, truly need meal service, that might be an option. There are some home, what is the one that I say wrong every
home
time?
Homestyle Direct.
Homestyle Direct, Mom's Meals, our meals, our mail order services that some of the family care programs use them. And so we are going to look into that either. It would be a service at least to offer somebody if they lived in an area where we absolutely can't get a route to. I mean, it's just not realistic that we're going to send a driver, you know, to every possible little location in Grant County, which is pretty crazy. But it is possible. But it would be nice if we could see a little bit more collaboration and a little loosening up of the restaurant rules. We asked about Quick Trips because obviously there's Quick Trips in a lot of different places too. And probably 5 years ago or better, Guar said they were working on a collaboration with Quick Trip. Well, that's never come to pass. You know, because even for some of these places, if we could use, again, something like that, where they could purchase some meals from Quick Trip, or we could purchase meals from Quick Trip once a week or whatever, and get them to them for, you know, 3 days worth of meals or something, it would be better than delivering 3 days worth of meals on three different days. So, I know Courtney's been frustrated. I'm frustrated. Everybody in the state, I think, is pretty much frustrated by the meeting.
Yeah.
So yes, if you talk, and this affects federal and state because both put in money into the home delivery programs. So something needs to give, that we just need to have a little break. But again, just trying to make you aware of it, because like it or not, we're going to have to make some tough decisions, either around wait list or prioritization, or saying, no, we can offer you this, and this is what we got. And if you don't want this, that's it. I don't love it, but I can't manufacture volunteers and staff either. So stay tuned. I don't think we've got anything to bring you today. Any wait list that we do has to be approved by the state. So we would have to work with them, and same with prioritization. But I do know several counties. I was kind of looking online, and there are more and more doing it. So, and I guess prioritization would be maybe the better of the two, because it doesn't totally take somebody off the list. I just thought of telling somebody who really needs meals that we're going to put you on a wait list, and hopefully we can, you know.
Yeah, but and we don't know when you'll be able to get on, you know. So that's kind of hard to tell someone.
Yeah. But we are also going to start limiting routes, because we can't do it. We really can't.
So of your 32 people you have in Platteville, how many volunteers do you have to service those 32?
So actually, that 32 is just one route. The other route is about 20.
22. The other one's got to be close to 20. I mean, because it's approximately 80 meals each day.
80 meals that are delivered each day?
Generally. There's two that are higher risk right now that are picking up, because they have a higher nutritional risk. But yeah, the rest of them are delivered.
That's quite a few.
Yeah.
How many volunteers do you have, would you say? Divide those up.
Really? 6 to 8? 6 to 8. Yep. I know there's two sets of couples. One of them does like a Tuesday. They don't do all the routes, but they do at least one of them. And then Thursday, the other couple does it. And then really Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it's two that do it every week. We have one lady that comes in and helps in the kitchen. And, you know, there's a backup or two, but we rely heavily on the 6 to 8 that we have. They're there every week. Hmm. So like Lori said, if one of them goes down, we're in a world of hurt.
Yeah. It just feels very precarious right now. Everything is just a matter of, you know, and I don't want to lose a good employee who's like, you know, I could be doing something for the same amount of money somewhere else for a lot less headache. She's really good at her job, but again, it's just, you know, typically used to ebb and flow a little bit. You might have an issue, but it would resolve itself. But it's, you know, the pandemic was kind of a game changer. And then, you know, just inflation always causes more people to look at meals as well because they can't afford it. And I get it. So, but I mean, like I said, more and more of the directors, somebody had sent around kind of a group. She has a nutrition group email, or we do, I guess. And somebody had sent around like, you know, how are people going to do this in-home assessment? I'm really worried. I'm not going to keep up. And somebody else had said, well, we're trying to do this. And then somebody being me said, you know, this is ridiculous. This is going to, if you truly want us to do this, then, you know, it's going to cost us. I mean, I don't know if I put a figure to it, but anyway, I said, we're going to have to back off of meals in order to do this, or we're going to lose service days because she can't do both. And I had at least three directors respond to me privately and say, thank you for that. You're speaking the truth. And it needs to be said. And I'm like, well, we got to quit saying we do everything, because that's the problem with, I think, a lot of the aging units is they're helpers, and we like to help, and but we don't like to tell people no. But at some point we're going to have a house of cards that's going to fall down, and we're not going to be able to do anything, and then we're going to be telling people no because we have nobody in place to do it. So there's that. So stay tuned. We will come back with that. But I do think you'll see something, and it won't be willingly, but we're going to have to do something. And Cuba City might be it. That could be one that we potentially, because again, we haven't had a nap in 6 months. So if we get somebody in there, we're going to negotiate for whatever we can, but at a point of not closing the facility entirely. So, okay. Well, that was uplifting, wasn't it?
Sorry,
man. Yep, nope, that's fine. Gary, you want to just keep moving? The next one's So I do have a request in here to carry over some vacation days. I have till June 2nd. I've been trying to whittle a little, but obviously with everything going on, I'm a little concerned that if Courtney would go down or we had a problem in sight, I may have to switch a day off and work. So I'm just requesting that we carry over three if need be. I'm going to try to use them. I want to use them, but. Yes.
Okay. Motion made in second to go carry over 3 days vacation. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you.
Now I need approval of vouchers.
Not
that
there shouldn't be
anybody. Yeah, I entertain a motion to approve the vouchers.
I so move.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Financial report.
Okay, and I think we're on track okay with where we're at. I am obviously a little more worried about nutrition just because of the cost of everything, but I think we're still staying in line. Hopefully we get people hired and quit advertising. We're spending a lot of money on advertising that I didn't budget for. But other than that, I think everything is pretty much on track. Did you see something, got a question?
No. We need a motion to approve that financial report. And a second?
I'll second.
Vote made second to approve the financial report. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Lori, reports.
Okay, well, I already talked about Medicare 101. We do have the Senior Farmers Market program starting June 1st. So we're going to have some staff out at meal sites. We usually try to visit at least all the meal sites and offer the vouchers there. And then we'll be offering them in our office as well. They increased the vouchers this year. They used to be $25 and they are now $35. So that is really nice to meet people. And they can be used at participating farmers markets. So, and there's several in Grant County. So they can use the vouchers through October 31st. So if anyone's saving for apple orchards and things like that, they can use them on that as well. But it's a very good deal. Talked about aging advocacy days and Emily. We were out in Bagley with the floods. I skipped one, I guess. Well, I'll talk about that. So we did provide some assistance to emergency management as they deal with area residents in Bagley and Cassville and Glen Haven. We typically, over the years, have gotten involved with emergency management when we have seniors involved in those areas. So we did work with a few families there. We are pretty much out of it, I think, now. And thank goodness it wasn't as bad as it could have been. So we've seen worse, but it wasn't great. I feel sorry for those people. We did have two incidents. We've actually had three, I think. I put two where we found, where meal volunteers found someone on the floor and were able to get them emergency assistance. We did have a third one as well. That was also where emergency assistance needed to be called. And that could have been a bad situation too. It happens every year, but within a month's time, we had like three. So, Jeff Kirsten was here and provided a presentation on the scam, scams targeting seniors, which provided a lot of good information. We did record that and we're going to use it with our meal site managers as well as a training. One of the nice things that came out of that was we worked with Grant County IT. We had Dana Andrews here. We worked with the Sheriff's Department and we worked with the Department of Social Services to talk about what was happening around here. Todd Miller from Grant County Sheriff's Department actually pointed out that the cases around here, and there's been several, mm-hmm. There's been, people have lost money in like the $10,000 to $30,000 range, which is much more than I would have thought.
Yeah.
So to think it doesn't happen around here, it does. Pretty scary stuff. I was kind of amazed by that.
I was surprised, yeah.
One of the things that we collaborated on with the IT department, Dana and Kathy, a front desk person, did these little handouts, and I'll show them to you, and then they went over them at the scam training. But it's looking at your email and determining if somebody's just doing a phish, which is basically a scam to try to get you to click on a link or respond. And they try to make the emails look, I get one every so often that says like your package is going to be late or something and click on this link. And it looks like it might be from Amazon. And of course it's not. So they did this and it was mostly like looking to see it, like, do you already expect an email or does this not feel right? Does it sound urgent, like you have to do something right away? Does it match who it's from? And you can kind of hover over the address and see if it says it's Amazon, but when you hover, it says like, spammer at Gmail, it's not them. Oftentimes those things will have not the right spelling, not the right grammar. And then looking at whether the links point to possible, if the link looks misspelled. So the main thing is just don't click on those. And if somebody wants a gift card, don't give it to them. That's the other thing that Todd pointed out too. I didn't even know there were Bitcoin ATMs.
I didn't know that either.
So the cryptocurrency, I didn't even know we had ATMs around here for that, but we do. And that's one of the big things that they try to get them to buy cryptocurrency, because it's really kind of untraceable, I think.
Yeah.
They get you to do that.
And it's sort of like,
I don't even know what it is.
I think there's one here in Lancaster too.
I don't want to know.
I know. But that is a big thing of what they're using now, the gift cards and the cryptocurrency, is how they're getting people to get the money. And there's much less tracing with that, because again, you can't trace really either one of those. So it was interesting. And I was surprised that was happening around here, but it is. So it was interesting. She's working with volunteers. We usually do some volunteer training, red flag training, and what to do in case of emergencies and things like that. So she's been out and then passing out our volunteer appreciation gifts as well. Do you want to say any more about that?
Pretty much it.
And then I participated in a survey with UW-Madison. We've worked with some of these, with the research team there, on a couple projects before. So they asked me if I would participate in a survey on the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on local nonprofit organizations that serve individuals with disabilities. So I did that as well. Because obviously, you know, it did impact us quite a bit. So that was interesting. So it took about 40 minutes or something, but so we'll see how that comes out and see what kind of research comes out of that. But certainly was impactful. So that's really all I've got. And then we've got the reports. We are busy. Our office is busy. Our nutrition program is busy. I think our staff are kind of feeling a little bit of strain again. It just seems like with every picking up, our staff are also making, so while Courtney's got to do in-home assessments, our staff, our ADRC staff, also have to go back into homes again. Most of what they do, they have to offer a home visit to anybody, but mostly like enrollment, disenrollment, typically are done in the homes too. So they're back on the road. And while I looked back on the numbers, their contact numbers are going up incredibly. But I think being busy and then now having to go back out and travel in a county of this size is just impacting them as well. So we are going to meet with Mary Mesra on Thursday to talk about that a little bit. The problem is the funding, how the funding comes in is for the region. So there's, you know, sometimes there's discrepancy between what other counties are doing and what we're doing. And we're trying to figure out how we can alleviate that somewhat. They went to a training up in La Crosse and talked to La Crosse staff up there, who said, you know, on some days they're approaching like 30 phone calls a day in La Crosse County, and our staff are like, we're approaching 30 phone calls on a lot of days here in Grant County. And we've got 3 ADRC specialists and they have 7. So they came back like, I know. So again, back to that advocacy stuff, again, why we're looking at trying to get an increase for ADRC funding, because our staff are feeling the crunch. And they could certainly probably be serving more people, and we're only going to see that increase as more and more people age, you know, which they are. So again, just to kind of link it back to some of that advocacy. That's all I got. Any questions?
The vouchers, if the person wanted one, did they contact your office?
The farmers market vouchers?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes, there is. We're going to show them some income guidelines. There is a little bit of income guidelines that they need to be under. Yeah. And they can ask us that on the phone if they want to make sure before they drive here. But yes, they can just give us a call and we'll set something.
We've got a family that we help out from time to time, and I know they really run short of food. Here we had to, about 2 weeks ago, we had to take some in. They were out of money.
Okay.
They couldn't buy anything.
Oh. Are they over 60? Because this would be for over 60.
She's
As long as one household member is over 60. Well,
she has to be over 60.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's something I'll have to check out. I don't think she's 60.
Okay.
I don't know.
Disabled doesn't work on the senior.
She's disabled. I mean, she's...
Well, we might be able to have a food pantry. The disabled, they won't qualify for the senior's farm because senior is for seniors.
Oh, okay.
But we could maybe give them a food pantry list, some of the places that give some of that.
Okay.
And actually, Arnold, we could give you that before you leave.
Food pantry.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, like Ruby's Kitchen. That
like
we
one of those, yeah.
But where do they live?
Well, they live on Water Street.
Okay. So we could give some resources on that for you. We could get
provide
that for you. Yeah. Oh. Anything else?
No. I guess not. Right. I'll make a need a motion to adjourn.
Sorry. Did we get a second?
All those favors.
Sorry, I didn't mean to unload on you, but we just kind of wanted to give you.